שלום everyone, and today we're reading פרשת וארא, the second parasha in the book of Shmot, Exodus, chapter 6, verse 2. Last week, we read פרשת שמות, the first one of the Shovavim, the 6 weeks period of describing the Exodus, and we, in the Zohar of Shovavim, there is an amazing verse dealing without period of time, with our time, which means the question is that everybody has, you know, how do you stay sane in such a tumultuous world in which everything is so insane, insecure, unstable, more than scary, frightening? How do you manage? How do you survive? How do you thrive? How do you get the idea of success when you realize that what's going around is just getting weirder and weirder as the time is passing by? And the famous prophecy in the Zohar Parashat Shmot, last week reading, where it says in the Perusha Sulam, or the Sulam translation by Rabbi Ashlag, verse 96 of Parashat Shmot, Rabbi Shimon nasa et yada vebacha. Rabbi Shimon raised his hands and he cried. Ve'amar oy lemi sheikre b'oto zman. Oy, woe, painful, to those, to whoever will happen to live in this period of the last redemption. Remember, Exodus is the first, is regarded as the first redemption. Basically, we talk about four redemptions. One, taking the Israelites out of Egypt, becoming a free nation. The second redemption is when we are talking about getting out of, after destruction of the first temple. When we're talking about the destruction of the first temple, going to Babylon, and then coming back to Israel, very few came back. And we had also the redemption of Purim, when and then we have the last redemption, which we are right now, according to what the Zohar is teaching us, especially in even in this parasha Va'era, we're in the midst of it. And Rabbi Shimon is saying, "Whoa, oi!" You know what "oi" means? To that one person who will happen to be in this time. Ve'ashrei chelko shel mi sheyikre v'yuchal imatze, and happy is the one, praiseworthy is the one who will happen to be able to exist in this time. And he explains, oy, to those who will, to that person who will live in that time, it's because when God will come to visit the Gizel, the Shekhinah, he will look, who is standing with the Shekhinah? Who is on the wavelength of the Shekhinah, the divine presence? Who is there connected to real awareness, spiritual awareness? Who is there realizing what life is about? And when God is going to look at the deeds of each person, he won't find any righteous person. You look around, you say like, everybody is so not righteous. People are troubled. People are lost. As it says, Ve'abit ve'en ozer, on that time, there is a prophecy in Isaiah 63. And I will look and nobody helps. And so many troubles will happen to Israel. Verse 97. And here comes the answer to our question. The question was, how do we deal with this very, very complex era that is scary, upsetting? You don't understand what's going on. It's nothing to do with relaxation and comfort and Security and certainty, nothing around is as such. How do you survive that time? Mishum shoto shitkayim bazman ubeemunah, and the answer is, and this is the answer of the Zohar, this answer echoes everywhere. You know, Rabbi Nachman, what's the problem? It's all about emunah. Emunah means connection. Emunah means faith that is connection, not a logical kind of belief. It's beyond that. It's called emunah. How do we connect with the Shekhinah? How do we connect with the Tree of Life? This is what the story is about. The purpose of reading every year again and again the story of the Exodus, we already said last week, when it says in a Passover Haggadah, Chayav kol adam lirot et atzmo ki elohu yotze mimitzrayim. Each person must see himself like he's getting out of Egypt. And we explained, Egypt in Hebrew, Mitzrayim, means a place that is narrow, suffocating, a dungeon. Egypt means a dungeon. The body and the materialistic state of mind is our dungeon. If you're not trying to release yourself, to redeem yourself, that means that you associate yourself with Egypt, with Pharaoh, with the armies of Egypt, with the wizards of Egypt, with the state of mind of Egypt. It is all about physical, materialistic. And if there is some metaphysical, it's all witchcraft. It's all about gaining power, wealth, nothing that is really by spiritual nature. There's a difference between mysticism and spiritual. Mysticism, oh, it's like people like magic. Along generations and even today, people go to magic in order to gain more power. How do we know? Look at the popularity of all the Marvel industry movies. It's all about superpowers, or it's all about magic. It's all about magic in order to get power. And weak ones, they want the magic in order to be secured. So they will know how to fight against bullies, against attackers. But this kind of magic is black magic because it's all about one's basic bodily needs. It's not spiritual. And that's why all of this Marvel industry and all the other huge industry of movies about superpowers and magic, it's all about people searching for security. And the only security, the only real, true, lasting magic is emunah, is the connection with God's light, with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with the creator of the universe. Only connecting to that real, true, infinite magic, which is called emunah, translated into English, into faith. But you can have faith in all kinds of stuff. You can have faith in spells. You can have faith in vitamins, medicines. There's so many things that people claim to have that they have faith in. No, we're not talking about this kind. We're talking about emunah, which is the ability of the human mind to be connected to the spiritual dimension, to the godly dimension, and at the same time, feel that even through the physical dimension. This is what we try to learn. Whoever is learning Kabbalah, this, if you're not learning that, you're not really learning Kabbalah. The only thing, because whoever, whoever will be able to exist at that time, and we're talking about our time, with emunah, yizkeh, he will merit to the light of the happiness of the king. והזמן ההוא כתוב, and how do we know it's not going to be easy? About that time it is said, וצרפתים כצרוף את הכסף ובחנתים כבחון הזהב. This is from the book of Zachary, Zachary, Zachariah, chapter 13. And I will pure them like the purification of silver and like the purification of gold. And we know that the Torah calls Egypt the iron furnace. What do you do in the iron furnace? You heat it up to over 1,000 degrees. And you put in the ores of silver or of gold, and the dirt burns down, and the pure silver or any other precious metal, they melt and they simply accumulate in the corner. And you repeat that again and again and again till you have pure precious metal. That's why Egypt is called the iron furnace. The Hebrews, the children of Israel, were incarnated from long time into troublesome places, troublesome events. The flood, the Tower of Babel, Sodom and Gomorrah. And now they had to come to the iron furnace, Egypt, to purify, so they can come out and receive the Torah on Mount Sinai. It's not an easy task. You have to be ready for that. But for being able to be ready for that, you need to learn what does it mean become spiritual. We are going through a redemption right now. It's the process started decades ago. Still, we are in the midst of a process that is long, slow, as we read in Parashat Vayechi, and including with that, it's very painful because, you know, being in an iron furnace is not so easy. So the question is, we ask again, how do we secure ourselves? How do we stay connected to Emunah and not being burned with all the filth around us and within us? And that's the topic of this parasha. So it's all about Emunah. How do you keep the Emunah? So the Zohar continues. When we start the reading of the Zohar of this parasha, the story is telling us that at the end of Parashat Shmot, Moses, he's by the burning bush, he gets the order, go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. And Moses is reluctant. He is not so sure he can do that. Finally, God says, okay, Aaron, your brother, will be your mouth. You'll go with him. Together you're going to do that. They go to Pharaoh. They say, God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, who sent you? And they said, Hashem. And we spoke about it last week. And Pharaoh says, I don't know Hashem. I don't know the God that you're talking about. It doesn't exist. He totally denies that. But he says, if you are talking about freedom and redemption, it means you're not working hard enough, because people are working hard as slaves. They have one thing in mind, to survive the day, to survive the hour. If you are planning about going out to the desert and celebrating to God and having freedom, you know, I'm doing something wrong, because you're not being totally enslaved. So let's do it harder. And it's becoming harder. And the Israelites are screaming and yelling, you know, you want to redeem yourself from anything. And I repeat that example again and again. Somebody is enslaved and addicted to cigarettes, to sugar, okay? And then you decide that you must release yourself from that. You must withdraw yourself from that. And you stop smoking, you stop eating sugar. Do you feel great the next day? No, you feel horrible. Everybody knows that withdrawal is very, very painful. The stronger the drug, the more dangerous the drug, the harder it is The process of withdrawal. You want to get to be withdrawn from Egypt, from being a slave to other human beings, to be a slave to Egypt and its culture. You want to withdraw from that? Do you think it's going to be easy? It's not. So immediately you say, well, I did my first step. Why is it so hard? Everybody who wants real, true success knows that if you don't have a real strong faith, connection to a vision that is bigger than life, that's called spirituality. You won't be able ever to lift yourself above the slavery. Whoever thinks, I'll study some books, I take some courses and some workshops with Unleash Your Power, and that's also black magic. Why? You feel so empowered. You pay so much money, you travel, you get there, and people scream and yell and so on, and then you come home and you realize it was all a lie. You fall back into your old habits because you didn't really get out of Egypt. You were still celebrating physical ideas with physical vision, and that will never be able to withdraw you. To draw somebody, that's Moshe, Moses. His name is Moshe, which means it's the ability to draw somebody who's drowned. This is the purpose of this parashot. So, how does Parashat Shmot end? Moses is also, he doesn't get it. Although he's such a wise person already, he studied so much wisdom. He's 80 years already, Moses, in our story. And he's upset. He's losing it. He's praying to God, God, lama hareota lama ze? Why is it that you promised me to save them and you just brought damage? And so we start our parasha, Exodus 6:2. Vayedaber Elohim el Moshe. This is horrible to teach that in English. And Elohim, God, talks to Moses. Vayomer lav ani Hashem. And he says to him, I am God. But in Hebrew, it's two different names of God. One, the first one is Elohim. And the second one is the tetragrammaton, Yud and Hey, Vav and Hey, that you don't pronounce because you don't even know how to pronounce it. So you say Adonai, my Lord. But it's not really it. It's another name of God. It's not really my Lord. So, and God spoke to Moses and said, I am the Lord. That's a very poor translation, but you can't find these words in English. And then he says something really special. Verse 3. Va'era el Avraham el Yitzchak vel Yaakov el Shaddai. And I have been revealed to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the name El Shaddai. It's another name of God. Ushmi Adonai lo nodati laim, and my name, Tetragrammaton, was not revealed, was not known to them. What is this game of names? Yeah, that's the book of names. This is the book of names. So what is the hint over here? What's the message? Why is the Torah study the healing that we are needing, that we need so much? And I heard the pain of the children of Israel, verse 5. Vayezkor et briti, and I remember my covenant, verse 6. And therefore you tell the children of Israel, Ani Hashem, I am the Tetragrammaton. Vehoceti etchem mitachat tzivlot Mitzrayim, and I will take you out from under the sufferings of Egypt. Vehitzalti etchem avodotam, and I save you from their slavery. And while we redeem you, I will redeem you with this, with the upper hand. Verse 7, and I will take you to be my nation. And I will become your God. And you will know that I am Adonai, Tetragrammaton, your God. So we have here so many verbs And it's being discussed in the Passover Haggadah. Ve'hotzeti, I will take. Ve'itzalti, I will save. Ve'galti, I will redeem. Ve'lakachti, I will take you. Ve'iti elachem, and I will be your God. Ve'idatem, and you will know that I'm Hashem Elokechem. What does that mean? And by the way, when Moses says that to the Israelites, verse 9, ולא שמעו על משה, and they could not hear Moses, מקוצר רוח ומעבודה קשה. The simple explanation of these words, they were so troubled and working hard, they could not even hear Moses. What is the secret? And again, how is that connected to our redemption? How is that connected to the question, how do we save ourselves from getting crazy, from just seeing what's happening around us politically, socially, economically, secure-wise, everything, everything, you can go crazy, as the Zohar says. And because you go crazy, you cannot hear, read, get the message. The message will be on the wall. You won't be able to notice that because, as it says about the Israelites, when you are a slave, you think like a slave. You feel like a slave. You're a professional victim. You blame, you hate, you're angry, you're upset, you're troubled. Your heart is not capable for emunah. Emunah cannot sit in a small, tiny, contracted, squished heart. How do you open your heart, make it big enough so the emunah can settle in? This is the secret of salvation, as the Zohar says in so many places. How do we do that? And as the Zohar is saying, crazy things are happening. Crazy, more crazy things are going to happen all around us. The Zohar of Parashat Vayera, at the end of this parasha, is very clear about what's happening around us. We just want to read it. It says very clearly. Okay, one of the most famous articles in the Zohar. I want to read the whole article. We don't have time. But the article goes, I'm reading from, the article is starting on verse 198 of Parashat Vayera. And it speaks about the two students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Chiya. And Rabbi Chiya is crying. And he's crying, and Rabbi Yossi is saying, why are you crying? He says, oi, again. It's going to be painful because Sarah did not have a child, then Sarah said to Abraham, take Hagar, and Ishmael was born. And although, I'm reading verse 200, Va'avraham amar lo Ishmael yichyeh lefanecha, and Abraham prayed to God, you know, I have a son, Ishmael, let him live in front of you. But God continued to inform and give messages to Abraham about a son he's going to have from Sarah, and Abraham doesn't get it. Till finally God says to Abraham, Ishmael Shma'aticha, I heard you about Ishmael. And Ishmael was circumcised before Yitzchak, Isaac, was born. Then comes the prophecy, verse 201 in the Zohar Parashat Vayera in Asulam. בואו 400 שנים עמד הממונה של בני ישמעאל וביקש לפני הקדוש ברוך הוא. Every nation in the world is a collective of individuals, but according to the Zohar, all of them, every national group, they are not a nation by mistake. It's not random. There are special souls being born in a special area in order to create a unique culture and belief systems that's called a nation. That they have a common background of language, belief systems, culture, common interests that makes them a nation. And here we talk about the nation of every nation like this has its own angel. It's an archangel, but every nation has its own angel. And therefore, there is something unique for every nation when we're talking about history, about what comes first, the leader or the historical process. Here it says it's a historical process because the process is managed by the angel of each nation. Then that angel makes it that the right leader will become his representative for that to rule that nation. So basically, leaders of nations, they're basically puppets, according to the Zohar, of the angel of any of all the nations, of each nation by itself. Here we're talking about the angel of Ishmael. Ishmael is the father of the Arab nation. The Arab nation is huge. We're talking about, I don't know exactly, maybe 500 million people living from Morocco all the way till Iraq. So we have on that area of 13 million square kilometers, a whole bunch of countries, but it's one angel, it's one nation. It's the Arab nation, the nation of Ishmael. And then it says something very weird. The angel of Ishmael, says the Zohar, asked for 400 years. He asked God, and why are we talking about 400 years? He said to him, whoever, and Ishmael is also the Islamic culture. Whoever is circumcised has a part in your name. We know that Muslims, they circumcise. But Ishmael, that was circumcised, and all of the Muslims, let's say they call it the Ummah, the Islamic nation, they do circumcise. Why can't the Muslims be connected to the Tetragrammaton like Israel? God said, but they don't, this, the Brit, the covenant, is that you have to circumcise on the eighth day. There are three stages for the circumcision. You have to do it in a certain way. The Muslims don't do it that way. They do it, you know, few months old, few years old. They don't keep the 8 days and not the three stages of the circumcision. So the angel says to God, was there really an argument or is just a legend to give us some hint about what's going to happen? But he's still circumcised. He cannot have any connect, any reward for that, that he's circumcised. Verse 202, listen carefully. Oy lotos zman shenolad Ishmael ba'olam ve'limol. Oy, again the word oy. It's going to be painful for the time that Ishmael was born and circumcised. Ma asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu klapei ta'anat ha'sar shel Ishmael? What did God do towards the claim of the angel of Ishmael? Hirchik et bnei Ishmael midvekut ha'elyon ve'natan lahem chelek lemata ba'aretz ha'kedoshah. He gave them a share in the Holy Land because of their circumcision. The hint was in the beginning, how many years? So we know the Arabs took over the land of Israel from Byzantine in the beginning of this 7th century. But we know that the caliphate ruled by the Ottomans, the last Ishmaelite rule, started in 1517 and ended in 1917, and that was exactly 400 years. And after that, the British took over, and after the 30 years of the British mandate, Israel was established, and we still have a fight. So where is this fight? So the Zohar continues. Verse 203. And the Children of Ishmael are going to rule the Holy Land a long time, but the land was going to be empty. There were only, when we're talking about 1917, when the Ottomans lost the control over the land of Israel, there were only a few hundred thousand people living in this country. Empty. It was barren, mostly desert and swamps. And they are going, but it says the Ishmaelites, they are going to delay, prevent, try to prevent. The word is le'akev, which means make it slower. To make slower what? When the children of Israel trying to come back. 1917, World War I is coming to its end. The British rule is starting. There were maybe 60, 70,000 Jews in all the country. Many others fled or were thrown out during the war by the Ottomans. A lot ran away to Egypt and to other countries. So there were even less by the end of the war. Tens of thousands of Jews ran away from the country. So there were maybe 60,000, 70,000 Jews all over what is Israel now. 100 years later, to 2017, there were 7 million Jews in the land of Israel. So that's exactly what the Zohar says. And all of that, in that century, the Jews are trying to come back, and the Ishmaelites all over the world trying to prevent that from happening in different ways. Till their time will be over. And we said it's going to be empty till 1917. Okay, how does that continue? Verse 204. So we have the picture. A long Ishmaelite rule. The last section is 400 years. Then the Jews are starting to come back, but the Ishmaelites do not, they've tried to prevent in different ways. Pogroms, boycott, all kinds of ways, political, warfare, already from the beginning. What's the next stage? Ve'atidim bnei Yishmael le'orer milchamot gdolot ba'olam. And the children of Israel are going to start big wars all over the world. Ve'itasfu bnei Edom aleihem. And the people of Edom. And usually when the Talmud and the Zohar speaks about Edom, it speaks about the West, usually the Christian West. And then the people of Edom will make war with and against the Ishmaelites. Achat al hayam v'achat al hayavasha, one over the sea, one over the land, v'achat samuch l'Yerushalayim, and one next to Jerusalem. Do you realize? Most of the Islamic extremism that we see, they carry the name of Jerusalem, not Mecca, which is the holiest city for Islam, Jerusalem. And they're going to rule one upon each other, which means the Edomites, the West, upon the Arabs. That's in Parashat Vayera. How would that end? As we say, again, let's go back. The whole purpose of this war, and there's a Midrash, Yalkut Shimoni, that says that when you see the Arabs being threatened by the Persians, and the Arabs are looking for help, and the whole world is shivering and moving, and everything looks like it's falling apart, and the children of Israel will be scared to death, and God says, "Don't worry, it's all for you." Yalkut Shimoni, it's all for you. That is for you to prepare the world for the Messianic age. But what is the Messianic age? What is the redemption? And here we read it already in Parashat Vayera. It's all about Vidatem ki ani Adonai Elohechem, and you would know. It's a promise. verse 7 in chapter 6 in Exodus. Ki ani Adonai Elohim, that you know that I am Hashem, Adonai Elohim, Hamotzi etchem mitachat tzivlot Mitzrayim, that is taking you out. He doesn't say that will take, he doesn't say that did take, is taking. Who can take us every second from under our misery and suffering? What is the source of our misery and suffering? Basically, modern psychology and brain research is saying it's a noise. The noise coming from the fight, flight, freeze mechanism that we have. It's animalistic, it's slow, it makes a lot of noise. It's a source of our excess of stress, fears, anxieties, and stupidity. When we let the body consciousness to take over. So what is the healing? The Zohar says in Parashat Naso again, and it says so in Parashat Be'alotcha, and it says so in Tikkunei Zohar, you want to be protected in the time of the Messianic age, protected from the suffering of the Messianic age, protected from the Armageddon war, you need the safety shield of the Zohar. The safety shield of the Zohar is because studying the Zohar, reading the Zohar, is for one purpose, to elevate our state of mind, our awareness, to be able to tap into that vidatem, and you would know. And Adam knew Eve and she got pregnant. Knowing is connecting. When you know Hashem, when you know Tetragrammaton, what is a Tetragrammaton? Let's read what the Zohar is saying. So the Zohar is starting with, I want to make it short because we don't have so much time. And he says in Zohar, verse 2 in Perusha Sulam, Inun de'avdin pikudei oraita ve'az lei bo'ach meishar. People who really connect to the Torah and its mitzvot, and they walk in the honest and straight way, which means honesty, integrity, bitchala de'mayon, and they have the awe of God, their master. Kama inun sanegorin dekaimin alai oleila. There are many, many protective angels that protect them from above. Kema dat amar, as it says in Psalms 89, im yesh alav, I'm sorry, that's Job 33. Im yesh alav malach melitz echad min yalef. If there is an angel, protecting angel, an angel over that person, that angel will save the person from going down. Therefore, whoever walks straight in the road of the Torah is having protective angels. But how is that connected to what we're saying? So let's continue. Oh, that was the beginning of Parashat Bo. And it's not the, you know, we need that always. But Parashat Va'era, the first verse says, is starting with the verse Isaiah 26. Bitchu ba'Adonai ad'ad, ki beya Adonai tzur olamim. Trust Hashem, Adonai, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Tetragrammaton. Adei ad, for eternity, because with Ya Hashem Tzur Olamim. Because in God, and then he mentions two names of God, Ya and Hashem. Tzur Olamim is another name of God. Because what does it mean? Kol bnei ha'olam tzrichim leitchazek b'kadosh baruch hu. Every person in the world must strengthen their connection to God, and they should be trusting Him only. Verse 2. Shoel is asking, Im ken ma perush shel adei ad? What does it mean, adei ad? Which, for eternity. That's the simple translation. Umeshiv, and he answers, אלא צריך שיהיה תוקפו של אדם במקום שהוא קיום וקשר של הכל. We spoke about superpowers. This is how you get superpowers. The power of a person, tokef, should be connected to that place that is the place that the whole reality exists upon that place. The whole of reality is nourishing from that place. The whole reality is connected to that place. And what is that place? Ad, eternity. In the Shema Yisrael, whoever saw it in the original text, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hear, O Israel, Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. But you have something weird in the text, the two big size letters. There's a big ayin in the Shema, and in the Echad, there's a big dalet. In the Torah, there are three sizes of letters. Small, medium, and large. Most of the Torah is written with medium, but here and there, you have small letters, big letters. Here you have the last letter of the word Shema, big ayin, the last letter of the word Echad, big dalet. Ayin and dalet, ad, eternity. What is that? Eternity, ad, is the connection to the spiritual dimension called Ze'er Anpin. כמו שאתה אומר, בבוקר יוכל עד, ועד הזה הוא מקום מייחד לצד זה ולצד זה. What's special about that? When a person can connect his awareness, consciousness, he knows, which means an Adam knew Eve, he is attached to that frequency of eternity, he can unify both sides, the spiritual, the metaphysical, the illogical, because the human brain cannot understand it. Don't even try to, you know, I'm giving that as a very simple example. When a person has something of a spiritual feelings, like true happiness, like true love, like true serenity. Somebody comes to that person and say, explain it to me. And the person who's right now experiencing love, serenity, real happiness, realizes that you don't explain that stuff, because happiness, love, serenity, they don't exist in the same dimension as our logic, because they exist in a different dimension. What is being spiritual is when you try to overcome your physical feelings and logic and soar, rise, eject yourself to a higher place of real, true experience that is eternal. It's not logical, but it's real. There's nothing more real than true love. There's nothing more real than true happiness. There's nothing more real than true serenity and peace of mind. This is the only real stuff, and that's when we connect to what we call V'idatem, Ki Ani Hashem Elokechem. And you would know that I am Hashem, your God. So Confused? You don't understand? You're not supposed to understand. You're supposed to want to connect to that place. How do you connect to that place? When we pray, when we meditate, when we use God's names, the major thing in the prayer, says the teachings of Kabbalah, is when you concentrate on the names of God, not as, I'm honoring God and therefore I call him with an honorary name. No, by pronouncing the name and wishing, willing to connect to eternity, to that that is eternal. What is physical comes and goes. Life, physical life comes and goes. Money comes and goes. Happiness that is physical comes and goes. They are not eternal. Like anything, you have shoes, after a while they wear and there's a wear and tear, like everything in the mundane world. How do you know? Very simple. Whatever connects to the mundane world, the more is less. You eat food that you really love, the more you eat it, the less you enjoy it. Till finally you you have nauseous looking at the food, especially steaks and ice cream and stuff like this. After a while, you can't look at it anymore. Well, the spiritual love, happiness, the more, the merrier. The more you get, the more you expand your ability to enjoy it. This is true. This is eternity. So what is this ad? It's ad, not eternity. Ad. It's a place, it's a place that unifies both sides. Living in a physical body, having a spiritual soul that the physical body cannot understand, measure, or determine, or maybe describe. But life is only when it's both in harmony, when they're not fighting each other. So that's called, it's like the central column that unifies the right and the left. You want to ride bicycles, but you never rode bicycles. It will take your time. Why? Because your body, once, when you walk, you use right and left. Okay, so you want to do that also. But you want to do that in harmony so you stay in the middle and you don't fall off. How do you achieve that balance between right and left? How when you're drunk, you cannot achieve that balance even when you walk on a straight line when you're drunk. The central column means the unification, that you see eternity in everything God created. You can see God in everything, in biology, genetics, in astronomy, in physics, in ecology, in human relationships, in the history of every human being. And you realize it's always the hand of God. It's always the eternal force beyond the five senses that basically put things together. Otherwise, reality won't be able to exist. When you search and study the world, you start to realize there is a power, eternal power running the show. But in order to be able to see that, you have to eliminate the fear, the pain, the anguish, the anxiety from your physical body. How do you do that? How do you overcome what we all go through, especially nowadays? It's so scary. Nothing. You cannot trust anything. And he says, this is what, when we pray, when we study the Zohar, when we read the Zohar, when we meditate on the names of God, we can save ourselves. How do we save ourselves? So when you ask in Jewish tradition, what can save somebody from the pain of the Messianic age from Armageddon. It's going to be tremulous. It's already tremulous. It's already. People are dying right and left. There are wars, there are drugs, there are. It's terrible. People just kill themselves with fear, and they get all kinds of autoimmune diseases because of that, because of the stress. How do you save yourselves? Emunah, faith, trust, and connect to that what is called Ad. How do you do that? So let's continue. Everywhere when you read, Rabbi Shimon said, it's Emunah. When you read the Talmud, it's Emunah. Rabbi Nachman of Bresa, Emunah. It's all about connecting to God. It says also, you know, third meal of Shabbat, connecting to Moses, David, and Joseph. All three of them passed away during that time. But what's in it? All cases, the Zohar, the third meal, doing charity, helping others. It's all about getting out of the physical logic and connecting to the eternal, godly, spiritual logic. What does it mean, spiritual? That you put effort to rise above the fight, flight, freeze, the physical logic. That you say, I don't know how much money I have tomorrow, and nobody can guarantee that I can keep whatever I have, but I'm going to dedicate myself to helping other people, spiritually, physically, whatever. Why? That is what connects me to Ad, to the real eternal forces running this world. So when Azor is talking about it, he's talking about, just read the magical words of the word of the Zohar. When we do that, and we really dedicate our passion, our focal point, not just securing physically, because, you know, when the world is insecure, make more money, find a safe place, run away, all of that stuff. But, you know, nothing is safe anymore. Okay, people had mansions built by tens of millions of dollars in the Palisades, and it's gone. Ashes, that's what's left. And all the security is gone with all the security systems and security guards that were there. It's gone, it's finished. It's, and not just there, all over the world, things are falling apart. You cannot have security on the physical layer only. So how do you achieve that security? When we create passion to the spiritual dimension, and that by charity, by studying, by meditating, by praying, and we're really serious about it, we don't say to get by, we're serious about it. You're serious about it, then your passion is into it, and you fake it till you make it. You study and you study whatever Kabbalistic aspect of the Zohar. And you know, there's so many teachings right now. You can find it, whatever gets you passionate. The passion will raise you connected to Bina. And what does it mean? When you connect to the real, what's real and eternal, which is the passion for faith, for love, for charity, for improving the world to become a better place, spiritually and physically, then you reach that level that is beyond Bina. And then the gates open up. Lehamshich lo brachot, to draw the blessings down, which is shusot shefa chasadim, which is the bliss of chasadim, the mercies of the grace. Larik alav mabuim metukim, that will open springs, sweet springs of bliss. And why sweet? That it sweetens all the sour, all the bitter that the physical life has to offer. And then, only then, you can turn the passion for success from bitter, because when it's only passion for physicality, sooner or later it's going to become bitter. Bitter and bitter, hard and hard, judgmental to oneself and to hold the whole entire environment, stress and autoimmune diseases. However, when you have that passion for spirituality, the gates open up of bliss. And that bliss is the only thing that can sweeten all the judgments and the bitterness and heal. And that's why Yisro is using the word ad givot, tavat givot olam, with passion for those forces of spiritual fulfillment. And you cannot, the Zohar continues in verse 5. Yesh reshut lechol adam mistakel, shad kan, mikan la'ala en reshut la'adam mistakel bo. However, when you reach that passion, you cannot understand it. It's not a logical place. You know, by the way, any passion has nothing to do with logic. The moment you make it logic, it's not passionate. On the dark side and on the light side. And therefore, no one can see it, but you can connect to it. Ki hu ganuz mikol adam, it's hidden from every human being. What is that place that you cannot look at, perceive, and understand? Yah Hashem. These are two of the names of God that really symbolize the endless love of the Creator to His creation. Misham nitztayru kol ha'olamot. All the worlds are being drawn from those levels. What's so special about it? And just to make it short, what's in common for all of this? And going back to understanding the names of God. The names of God are not God. The names of God written in the Torah, they basically explain the different levels of perception of a human being of his creator. So when I experience God as that creator that created awesome forces, however, when I mess up, they hit me, they punish me. So I look at God with awe and fear. That's Elohim. When I'm connecting to the where it says over here, this is God talking to you, Moses. I am Hashem. Is the connection to the unconditional love of the Creator towards His creation. So, how many of us really try to make an effort to connect to that? How many of us really work hard on studying, learning, praying, meditating, reaching to that place in which we can see the happy face of God? He has no face. But you know, that's an expression that I know that my troubles is because of my mistakes. My judgments is because of my negativity. But God is never changing. He's never changing. He's always showing happy face to all his creatures. From God's point of view, it's always happy and loving. Unconditionally. Can I change God's mood? Can I change his opinion about me? Forget it. I can never change. More than he, I want my life to be better. He wants my life to be better. As the Talmud is saying, more than a calf wants his mother's milk, his mother wants to give him the milk. And that's being said about God. So building that kind of faith, this is through the study, through prayers. Like the Ana Bekoach, or the 72 names of God, look for it. Or the study of the Zohar. For that purpose, we can save ourselves, since that's the only way to secure ourselves. We know real safety and salvation on the physical realm are not always logical. We're not in a logical era. We thought, 50 years ago, people thought, in 50 years from now, everything is going to be so scientific and measured. And it's so chaotic because we trusted only the physical. Can't trust that. Same way you can't trust only your body. You have to have a soul and you have to tap into that soul. So the seven plagues that are being described in Parashat Vayera, they plague Egypt and Pharaoh. The question is, who do you side with? If you side with Pharaoh and with Egypt, which means you are still aligned with the physicality, with the physical perception of reality, with the physical logic of the past, don't be surprised that you're being plagued. But what's really makes you painful is not your soul, is your body's state of mind, which is anyway in trouble. So he deserves it. The more you connect to your soul and your the spiritual dimension of the world, the more passionate you are to that level, the more light, energy, miracles will flow into your life, and you find yourself in the right place at the right time. And being saved from danger again and again and again till we all reach safety. Thank you so much. Stay safe.